celebrated her a big birthday this week. So that's lovely. Leslie's not here today. She's got a birthday this week too, on the 16th. So there's always someone having a birthday, which is beautiful. Just a couple of things. On the 6th of March, put it in your diary, 6th of March, actually it's probably the 7th, 7th of March, Sunday the 7th, sorry. We're getting a guest speaker and his name's Jim Peters. Jim actually led Cole Joy to the Lord, apparently, and prayed for Cole. Apparently he had some accident and memory loss and he prayed, got to pray for him. Jim's from Sydney and he has such a desire to see people in relationship with Jesus Christ and fruitfully involved in the church. Jim's a good man. I've met him. I'm excited that he's going to be coming down. He's actually a musician, a song leader and a songwriter. He's been recognised internationally. He's written books and I'm reading one of his books at the moment called Free Indeed. And it's like a discipleship book. That at the end, you know, if you've got anything, yes, you're delivered. And it's just a beautiful book to work through. So I'm looking forward to Pastor Jim coming down on the 7th of March. So if you can be here, that would be wonderful to get a full house to hear what Jim's got to say. And I really sense Jim's going to be one of these people that will come back because it's good to build relationship with pastors and people that have got something special on their life to bring and share with us. So we look forward to that. Okay, was I supposed to announce something else you reminded me of? Okay, all good. All right, I think that's it. So this morning, my message, it's called Fruitful. I think we've got a slide. There we go. Fruitful. Okay. So today I want to talk to you about the fruits of the Spirit and how God wants to work that in our life. You know, there's so many things we can do as believers and so many things we can focus on. But what's the ideal of being a Christ follower, a disciple? Well, Jesus gives us a very clear picture of what he wants personally for you and for me as a believer. And it's found in Matthew chapter 28. You see, it's easy to lose purpose when you don't know what you're supposed to do. But God wants every believer to have knowledge of how to live the Christian life. So in this scripture, Jesus is resurrected. He's on earth for 40 days. He's been healing and talking to his disciples and preparing them for what he's about to do. And this is one of the last conversations and instructions that he has for his disciples. So let's have a look at Matthew 28. Not doing that there very well, that's okay. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's all right, I've got my notes here. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. This is the last instruction that Jesus gives his disciples. He says to them, when you leave here, you're to go and make more of yourselves, duplicate yourselves. Do it to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he wants them to go and teach others, these new disciples, to obey all the commandments that they've already been given and that all they've learned from being with Jesus for those years. So the instruction was clear. They were to go out, find other people, turn them into disciples, teach them what they had already been taught. And then, of course, Jesus says, remember this, I will be with you till the end of the age. These are the last words of instructions that he gives his disciples. And he wants us to be his disciple. And he wants us to disciple others. What is a disciple? A disciple is a personal follower of Jesus. It's not a group. It's not an event. It's not a church function or a church worldwide event or even an organization. God wants you to personally follow him. And a disciple is someone who learns from him and learns to live like him. God wants us to learn from Jesus so that we can live like Jesus. And that's what he was instructing his disciples to do. Jesus just didn't want a bunch of people calling themselves Christians running around on the earth. He didn't even use the word Christian. He used the word disciple. Lots of people can call themselves a Christian, but are they disciples? Do they learn from him to live like him? And theologians said that it was at least 10 to 15 years later that the word Christian was even used. And we see that in Acts 11:26, where it says, "And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." So Jesus isn't even worried about that name. It's disciple, a Christ follower, that we need to focus on. John 15:8 says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Wow. Do you know, to bear fruit brings glory and great joy to our Father? That did something in me when I was preparing this message. You see, God gets the glory when we bear the fruit and when we become his disciples. He gets glory through us. That's how we glorify him, by our lives. You know, we can all sit back and say, well, what's the purpose? What's our purpose? What has God called me to do? Well, there it is in black and white. It's to bear fruit that he would get the glory. There it is. Be disciples that bear much fruit that he would get the glory. We can think about our lives for a moment and what areas are we fruitful in. And I reflected for a moment on mine. I'm like, yeah, there's fruit in areas, but hey, there's more to be done. I've got more to do. I could be better in other areas. I know that. And I just thought, Lord, search my heart. So how do we become more fruitful? Well, firstly, I think we need to decipher between someone who's a Jesus fan or, yeah, I'm a Christian and whatever, and a Jesus follower. So we're going to discern that. Some people are just fans of Jesus, like they come to church, they don't actually participate, they say they're a Christian, but they don't live like it from Monday to Saturday. Or they've come and said, I want to serve, but their lives don't worship and reflect what they're saying. But then there are the followers, who are the ones that match what they say and do what they say. There are people that think Jesus is a good example, and then there are those who know that he is the example. And it's like some people think that Jesus is a way, like there are many ways, Buddha, Muhammad, whatever. But no, we know he is the way. And my point is that people who are fans of Jesus, they like the fruit. They like the way it looks, the way it tastes, the luscious, juicy, moist, delicious looking and appetizing. But followers actually bear fruit. And you know that needs to be a desire of our heart. It needs to be a desire. Our goal should not be to stay home, or stay the same. Sorry, I'm getting a bit of reflection here. I'm just going to have to go back a bit. Our goal should not be to stay the same, but our goal should be to bear fruit. And the word bear, what does that mean, bear fruit? It means to carry, like when we bear a burden or carry a burden, which we're not supposed to, by the way. Followers of Jesus actually are able to carry fruit, to bear it. So when that people look at our lives, they see that in us. They see something. We carry something with us. You know yourself when you've been with someone or you see someone, you think, wow, there's something really different about them. You can just often tell when someone's a Christian by their demeanor or by something that they carry. And it's true. When we bear fruit, we bear that fruit. We carry that fruit with us. And this is for a couple of reasons. The first one is that we are supposed to display this to the world, like the fruit of love. When we love each other, especially when we love people who don't love us, the world then gets to see the fruit of Jesus in our life. And again, the Bible confirms it, everything by scripture, John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Stop right there for a moment and think, are we truly loving people? It's easy to love someone that's lovable. It isn't easy to love someone that doesn't like you. That's where we have to get our fruit together. For your love one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's God's plan. He said, I want you to know that I want the world to know that you are my disciples. But the only thing you will know them is if you show them by bearing fruit. When you love each other, when you don't expect it, and when they don't expect it. He said, that's how they'll know. And that's the first reason that we have to bear fruit. And the second reason that we bear fruit is so people can eat the fruit from us. Sounds funny, but when we carry that in our lives, in our everyday lives, wherever we are, work, home, shops, wherever we are, coffee shops, it's a great place. When we carry that fruit, people can come to us. They can come and they can eat of that. When people come in contact with me and in contact with you, they should be able to taste and see, the scripture says, that the Lord is good. And there's nothing better than being around people who are positive, people who are bearing fruit. And when you get around them, you get nourished. I love to have a God conversation with good people, talking about scriptures, talking about things. You learn so much. You come away nourished and feeling good. And Jesus says, that's proof that you're my real disciple. And these messages that I'm going to bring a few more on the fruit and talk about each of the fruits, but he cares more about the fruit, which is like the character in our life, than any gift that he's given you. It's all about the fruit and the character. That's what he cares about. And God wants to produce more fruit in our lives. So then we look at different types of fruit. There's inner fruit. These are the fruits of the Spirit, the things that the Holy Spirit are working in our lives and moving things out of our lives so that he can work in our life, in the inner fruit. We need to put the right things in our life. Do you agree? In Galatians 5, these are the fruits of the Spirit, verses 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I often used to think that love, which is the first one mentioned, and self-control are like the bookends. If you've got the love and you've got the self-control, it's easier to work the rest out. They're the bookends. So we're going to be going over these fruits and we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit works these things in our life over the next few weeks. So there's other types of fruit that we're supposed to bear and desire. And the other one is the outer fruit or good works. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, God would rather us not going around saying we're a Christian and, you know, saying we can speak in tongues or whatever we can do. He would rather us go into a place and be the change instead of talking about how God can change it. He said, I want people to see your good works because it glorifies our Father in heaven. And this fruit comes out of our lives, out of our life. So it starts on the inside. And when we start maturing and getting that right, then comes the good works and the outer fruit. So when the fruits of the Spirit start, God says, when that matures, all these things in here, the things on the outside will be what people will see and it will glorify God. And these are good works. And the last thing that God wants to see out of our life is he wants us to bear is a people fruit through soul winning. We forget that, don't we? I thought, oh, heck, I don't know how long it is since I've led someone to the Lord. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? And you can ask yourself the same question. It's all about intentionally engaging people, knowing that hell is a real situation, a real deal, hell. And eternity is a real deal as well. And when we think about that, I think it motivates me more to engage with people. You might not get them saved on the spot. You might talk to a stranger. And, you know, each one of us, if we just do our little bit, if we just do our little bit, that will then, the next person will come along. You know, some will sow, some will water, and some will reap the harvest. But it's intentionally engaging ourselves with people. And God gives us the mandate to go. He gives us the word, go on, get out there, make more disciples. And he wants the fruit of our lives to be so strong that we would care enough about people to get outside of our comfort zone and reach out and touch somebody else. You know, you don't have to be an evangelist to come alongside of one person, just the one person, and share something with them, encourage them. There's someone, a friend of mine, and she sends me little snippets and scriptures all the time. And I'm like, wow, it's so encouraging. You know, God knows when you need it, when you're having a moment, and then, you know, someone will send you a beautiful message. And I really appreciate that. And I know others do too. And that's just encouraging when we can come alongside someone, someone we know, someone we don't know, and if we can encourage them and just share something with them about God, you'd be surprised how then the floodgates will open. Because especially in these times, people are ready. People are ready. I mean, this was God's whole plan for humanity, that someone's life would be changed and that they would have inner fruits of the Spirit working in them, and they would start doing good works, and then that person would move on and they would help someone else. That's people fruit. So we've got the inner fruit, and when that matures, the outer fruit is the good works that we do, and then the people fruit, the three sorts of fruits. In Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Wow. I just had some thoughts but of motivating myself to be out more, to be intentionally, when I get up in the morning, to say, God, give me an opportunity today to bless someone, to speak to someone, to encourage or minister or pray for someone. I think it's bold now when we can say, would I pray for you? And I'd say 99% of people say, yeah, that'd be great. So let's make an intentional goal that wherever we're going for the day, that we're looking for an opportunity to share the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the unfailing, unmerited grace of God that he gave us, and that we would show somebody else, encourage someone else. And then God says, you're a wise person. That's pretty good. Pretty good. So we've got the inner fruit, the outer fruit, and the people fruit. And the Bible will give us clarity on things as we're learning. You know, I learnt this, Sandra says this all the time. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, that we just walk daily, don't we? We read the word, we continue. We were having this discussion on Tuesday at Bible study. You know, do we need to be intellectual to learn the Bible? No. Otherwise, only intellectual people would be saved. No. And sometimes intellectual people don't get it because God doesn't work like the world does. So he will give us clarity on our lives and what we're to do, line upon line, precept upon precept. Continue. If you're struggling and you think, oh, I don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit. Continue to study. Do not give up. If the enemy can stop you reading the word, you can dry up. We become starving and we don't know what for. Be hungry for the word and continue, because I believe that God will open the eyes of our understanding when we continue to study, to read, and to read to understand. We don't have to read the Bible in a year. Just continue each day with something of the word, and the fruit will come. Now, John 15 verses 1 to 8. This is all about the vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, is making it clear, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There it is right there. Tells us everything we need to know. But let's break it down a bit. Okay, so when we're talking about Christ followers here, when you become a Christ follower, again, there's different types of bearing fruit. Verse 1, I am the true vine. That's Jesus, okay? Jesus is the vine. The vine dresser, that's God. He's the owner of the vineyard, okay? That's God. Then it goes on in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. These people are saved. They've saved. They've received grace through they've received grace through faith. But these people are saved, but maybe they bear no fruit. And Jesus is saying, these people have accepted me, but there's no fruit in their life. And then as we go on in verse 2, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So we might have a little bit of fruit. Now, we've got some fruit pictures here. Can we go to the first picture? There's the no fruit followers. Their plate's empty, okay? They're saved, but their plate's empty. Now, I wanted to have a big display of fruit here, but I put it all in a trifle yesterday, so I didn't have any fruit to bring. Okay, so they're saved, but there's no fruit. Then the next ones, they've got some fruit on their plate, okay? But Jesus says, I want you to bear more fruit, all right? So then as we go on, some bear more fruit, they're believers, they bear fruit. And people can see Christ in their life, that's good, but he wants us to bear more fruit, much fruit. So every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. If you are bearing some fruit, the way that you get to bear more fruit is that you get to get pruned. Yay! And these are more fruit followers. So then you can have more fruit on your plate. These are the more fruit followers. But they got pruned in between the some fruit and the more fruit. So, and verse 4, you cannot bear fruit unless you are connected to Jesus. That's just like a branch cut off, it'll die. That's us if we're not bearing fruit. Verse 5, you bear much fruit or you are fruit full. He's the platter of beautiful fruit. And he wants us to be fruit full. This is God's desire for every single person, that you just wouldn't live the Christian life that has you going to heaven, but that you're bearing fruit and people can eat off your life. They will learn from you. They will see something in you. They will follow what you're following, not following you. I have been in that position where I've helped people, loved people, cared for people, and then I've thought, they're relying on me here. I'm going to take a step back because I don't want to put myself in God's place. And you take a little step back. And then hopefully what you've sown into them, they will then begin to live that fruitful life for themselves and sow into others. Wow. This whole thing isn't about us. It's only about us that we would go out and do things for others. Remember, Jesus said, go and make disciples. We can't produce from nothing. And I wonder, it's a hard statement, but I wonder if the church has been in decline because we have fruitless believers. It's a sober thought, isn't it? Why aren't we growing? And I'm talking to myself. You know, we've got a town of people that are in hopelessness. And I mean, drugs, my goodness, in our business, we've been trying for months to employ people and we get a few come along And we've had plenty of applications, but only sometimes a few will come because they really just want to get their form into Centrelink to say they've applied for a job. And then we have to do a drug test, and pretty much 99.9% go drugs. They just do it on weekend. It's something they do now. And it's like, my goodness, I didn't realise things were so bad, you know, but it is out there. And we have an opportunity. We can only come across the people we come across. There's no point me going standing out on a soapbox and preaching on the corner. I've seen that happen, and it doesn't often work unless God's put a calling and anointing on you and the fruit in your life to go and do it. But we can talk to one person. We, like I said, don't be afraid. We're not going to have to get up and be an evangelist. Just share the love of God with someone. So the only way that we can go from no fruit to full fruit is one word. And this is found in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire. You need desire to do this. And the power to do what pleases him. I hope we're here today because we have a desire to learn and to grow apart from coming to worship our God. But he doesn't just give us a little bit. He gives us his power. And it's, you know, one thing for someone to, you know, give me a bowl of cereal and no milk. But when they give me the milk and the cereal, I can enjoy it. Or the bread without the butter. So we might have the desire, but we need God's power by the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in us. So he's not going to give us one part without giving us the other, because he will give us the power as well. Here comes the hard part, the pruning. I think there's, yep. Now, some of us might need the next one, a chainsaw. You know, there's various degrees of pruning and they all hurt. They're all tough. And, you know, sometimes we think that God's punishing us, but he's just pruning us. Pruning can be painful, and the loss, because pruning means taking away, getting rid of stuff. The things that we once used as a crutch, maybe, that got us through hard times, when God takes it away, it's painful. But we've got to rely on him then, don't we? Because he knows what we need. You have to change your perspective, because sometimes these prunings, they qualify us for what God really has for us. In this last year, God's been pruning me. I wanted to run. Many times I wanted to run away. It was painful. But he taught me to stand and to trust like I've never had to trust before. I know God gave me a gift of faith. He told me that once. He said, I've given you a gift of faith. But I had to put it into action. I had to show that I was serious about being a disciple, that I trusted him, and he needed to prune me for me to grow. He wasn't punishing me. He was pruning me. He was qualifying me for what he has for me. So when you're feeling pruned, don't think of it as, oh, I'm being punished. Look to him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And thank him for what he's doing. He knows a good tree is a pruned tree. Let's face it, for the gardeners here, a pruned rose bush grows better and beautiful and more flowers. Don't be afraid. Don't run. But no doubt we will have to work on our attitudes through this, our patience and our self-control. But be encouraged today, for whatever you're going through right now will produce more fruit for you. Don't run. It's not a punishment. Abide in him, which means staying in one place for a time. It means staying through a struggle. That's what abiding is. And you know, in a vineyard, I read this, the best tasting wine comes from the grapes that endure the most struggle. Wow. And I believe this is a message for people here today, that we need to go through it because it's going to produce much fruit in our life. And let's be fruitful people. Amen. Amen. And as I said, I'm going to be looking at some of the fruits of the Spirit the next few times that I'm speaking. And I'm going to enjoy that as I look into things. And, you know, in the meantime, Galatians 5, it talks about what the fruits of the Spirit are. Read up on it. Start practicing the fruits. And let's, you know, let God do an inner work in you that we would be doing good works. Not for how good am I, but good works to glorify Him, you know. Because good works alone, if we don't have the fruit, they quite often don't look good, do they? Because we're doing it for our glory. We're doing it for ours. Okay.